So good to see all these beautiful people, be it your name or just your face, your video. It's nice to connect. So welcome to week three. And I just want to say, let's just slightly recap. I always want to slightly recap before every session. And this is your time. So please, please, please don't be shy. Just dive on in, ask some questions. I've got a little guide and I want to just recap on some important things that we have covered, as well as continuing with some other topics today. So before I talk about the prearranged topics, does anyone have any questions or queries about what we've covered to date?
Hey Fiona, can you
Hi, Kim.
explain the fluorescence lights thing? I don't know if you plan to talk about it.
Yes, excellent. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You did ask about, to talk about that a little bit more. So fluorescent lighting is also called junk light. Junk light is what you get from, like the light from the modem. So the green light, the red lights you get on the TV when you haven't turned it off fully. And these all have an impact on the human body because the human body is made of energy. We are made of electromagnetic waveforms. So when you have dirty technology like fluorescent lights, it alters our healthy vibration. So it is linked, fluorescent lights are linked to causing cancer.
Good boy.
Also,
Yeah.
LED lights are not ideal
Yeah.
either. So if you can, I know they're really trying to phase out more natural lights, but if you can still get hold of non-LED lights, it's good because they flicker. They flicker and so we can't see it. It's not visible to the naked eye, but it is creating a pulse, which is affecting our eyes, it's affecting our brain, it's affecting our body.
What light can we use?
So the normal light bulbs that, if you were to draw a light bulb, that kind of light bulb is better. And when I was talking about the other junk light that we have, which is at nighttime, so you've got the modem, the TV lights that are still on, the green and the blue and the red lights, turn them off if you can. If I'm in a hotel and I can't turn off the TV, for example, I've got that junk red light coming through, I'll put band-aids or plasters over it because it's like I must have pitch black because our skin is photosensitive. So especially when we've got fluorescent lights at nighttime or LED lights at nighttime beaming on us, it's telling our brain it's the middle of the day. And then when we turn off all the lights and we go to sleep, we expect to fall asleep straight away. And the brain's like, one minute it was the middle of the day, and now I've got to fall asleep. And it's not helping the body to produce the right amounts of melatonin to, when we sleep. Now, if you don't have enough melatonin, it can cause depression. So we want to draw melatonin into the body through the right light at the right time. Candle flames can help activate melatonin. Yoga, doing poses where you're resting on your forehead or your forehead, so like child's pose, pigeon, all those kinds of things can also help to ignite the melatonin for when we sleep, and that creates the light, right amounts of balanced light in the body. You can even have salt lights, salt lamps, when you've got the traditional light bulb in the salt lamp. You can also get ones that look like salt lamps, but they're white, and that's actually selenite. And selenite has some amazing healing properties. So if you can get the white ones, even better. Otherwise, the common salt ones are fine, but you can never get them wet. You can't get selenite wet, you can't get the salt wet. Otherwise, it will just keep leaking salt.
I'm so glad that you said that, Fiona, because I saw some salt lamps the other day and I was so attracted to the color itself. It just made me feel relaxed instantly. And I
I
thought,
know.
I'm going to have to post this on the site, on the group, and see if anybody else is thinking the same thing, because I thought, this looks great. I must have it.
Yes. Please do. What I do is I put them in the bedroom, even in my stepkids' bedroom, and I'll have it on at nighttime. It's a beautiful glow and it's purifying the air because it lets off negative ions, these salt lamps. I turn it on at nighttime so it fills the room with negative ions, which is what you get when you're at the beach. Now, the beach is so powerful with its negative ions that it helps to boost your immune system, helps to clear the electromagnetic smog, as I like to call it. So this dirty technology, the stuff from the lights that you're getting, as well as other, dirty technology that we have access to. So if you can get yourself these salt lamps that can help to balance out the energy, and they're not too expensive. Candlelight's also really good in the evening, obviously. That was a really great question. So thanks for asking that one, Kim. Okay, so last week, I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, when you're feeling guilty, if you're not able to support your friend or family member, if they've miscarried and you're, you know, unable to be that level of support, or, you know, if they're pregnant and you're unable to be 100% genuinely happy for them because you're also thinking, oh, you know, I've been trying longer than them, I'm healthier than them, or whatever it may be. Why not me? Why is it not my turn yet? That kind of victim mentality. I hate the label victim mentality, but we are so preconditioned to fall into that we have all acted like victims. And I have too. So, you know, I also had the tools to then pull myself out of it. So I really, really, really want to make sure you guys have these tools to pull yourselves out of it too. So did you guys happen to watch the video that I put up yesterday? If you didn't watch that on YouTube, please, please, please do, because it's literally focusing on that question. You know, what do I do when all my other friends are getting pregnant and I'm not? So helping you with some emotional tools and techniques, because it's so important. And next week I'm going to share with you the Become Baby Ready series. And that's going to be helping you to also master your emotions for those that are interested in that. So please, this is important. So let's touch base either tomorrow when you've seen the video or sometime later in this course, because it's really important that I don't just give you this information, that you take action. So at any stage, even if we're in the final week and you go, oh, I've just tried to put together a different fertility evening routine, you can still talk about it then. Like, this is your time. This is you're preparing yourself for pregnancy and you really matter. So just use your words, pipe up, and let's serve you in any way, shape or form. Even if you feel that you're asking the same kind of questions, it doesn't matter. Okay. This is your time.
Fiona, I do affirmations as well. Sometimes I just like do statements, write statements, and then I just read it out until I remember it.
Good.
So I do affirmations about, you know, if I have my period, if it comes, when I think I'm ovulating, or if the cycle is, you know, whatever stage my cycle is at, but definitely around the time when I'm menstruating. I have some strong statements that I kind of put together for myself to kind of,
good,
like, you know, to balance me out, so to speak, balance out the negative emotion, so to speak. But it does help. It does help.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. It definitely does. Does anyone else use affirmations?
I actually find I try them, but I'm not really sure what I'm doing, if I'm completely honest.
Good. Let's talk about that. Good. Thank you. Thank you. That's a great question. So just quickly, has anyone done it and it's worked for them? Like, were you focusing on something and it actually came true?
Well, I set my intention at the beginning of this year to prepare myself for conception. Mm-hmm. And I found your course in my email inbox on the Thursday you were going live. So I just thought, oh, well, that's really great. You came to me. So I just joined straight away. So that I wasn't thinking about it,
yeah,
but I thought maybe, well, let me do it now. Yeah. Yeah. So that's the intention I set.
Good. Good, good, good.
I'll just add in there, I do the grateful ones that, just being like the gratitude sort of meditations, which really help.
Good, good, good.
You know, when I'm feeling low, a little bit like my vibrations are low, that sort of lifts me up. Yeah.
Good.
That's what I do.
Good. Because we can use it as a bit of mind mastery, which is what you're using it for, where we are controlling the mind. The reason why I ask, have you had much success? Is because affirmations are working on your conscious mind. So it's helping you to train yourself consciously. And it takes a hell of a lot of repetition, because your conscious mind is like a grain of sand compared to the whole beach, where you've got the waves, the shore, the vast amounts of sand, and you've got the ocean plants, you know, on the sand, in the water. So there's a lot going on if you compare it like that. So how many grains of sand are you going to have to, use to make some kind of an imprint on your subconscious mind. So we can make affirmations more powerful in a number of ways. And one of them is applying emotion. So when you state the affirmation, you've got to really believe it. You state it in an I am. You must start with I am, because that's where you're commanding God. That's where you're commanding all aspects of you. So I am. So it could be, I am pregnant in 2020. And I'm having my happy, healthy baby in 2021. Like, it's a strong statement. And then you apply the emotions that you feel. Now, you've got to be honest with yourself, because you can't fake this kind of stuff. Because if you say that and you feel maybe some tension in the solar plexus, the abdomen, you might feel a little queasy. You might feel, oh, I don't know if that's going to happen. Then we've got to go into a deeper perspective here. And we've got, what I like to do is go into mind mastery. So we reshape with neural programs that we are shifting this current thought, which isn't going to get you what you want, because the emotions, your emotions are telling you whether that turns your energy on or it turns your energy off, that statement, whether that you are congruent with that statement or not. And if your emotions are saying, I don't feel 100% congruent, but I want to, there's no point overriding it just through repetition. You've got to dissolve the barrier. Then you bring in the mantra, the affirmation. Because the thing is, when you actually shift your belief and you work with your subconscious mind and not using the affirmation for your conscious mind, then you don't have to keep repeating and repeating. Because when you're repeating, you're actually strangling the energy. You're blocking the energy flow. And what you're also doing is saying, I don't really believe it's going to happen. That's why I keep repeating and repeating. However, in your defense, Jill, when you'd said, I do it, you know, and you're just trying to remember it, that's great. And also, you know, Lisa, when you're saying, I'm using it, well, you didn't say it like this. I just put these words in your mouth, using it more as mind mastery. You know, you're shaping your mindset to get into, this is where I'm headed. This is who I am. This is what I'm expecting to happen.
Yeah.
So when you're addressing it like that, you make it happen. Otherwise, if you're coming from a point of fear, you're not bringing it in. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. It doesn't feel as if I'm like doing it because, oh, I've got to do it because it's something that I must do. But it's almost as if I'm saying it. I want it to happen. I feel it's happening. I feel it will happen. It can happen. It's going to happen. That kind of thing. That feeling, that vibration. I don't know. It's a different feeling. It's a different feeling that you get when you start thinking that way. And then, like you said, you just, once you are thinking that way, you don't, it's on, it's switched on.
Yeah.
It feels as if it switched itself on, as opposed to, oh, I've got to say it today. I've got to say it 3 times or 5 times a day. So yeah.
Exactly. No, that's good. It's whatever your intention is behind those words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your word is your wand, but the universe responds to how you're feeling, and that's what's coming through.
I do agree with that, and when I do it myself, I do feel contentment with it. And there's times when I really believe in it, you know, and it just feels, it's just like my natural state. It's just how I'm feeling, like every day.
Good.
But then sometimes I don't.
Yeah, I think the difficult part is, Fiona, what you were just saying about the fear part. So if you're, it's easier to believe when everything's going okay, but like, so for me this week, so I got my period. So then for me, coupled with the emotion that usually comes along with it, that is always a setback, because you're believing and trying, and then you're like, nope, didn't happen.
Yeah.
So what? Yeah, and then it's hard to restart that.
Yeah.
It's hard to pick yourself up again. Yeah. It's
correct.
You're sort of feeling good and you're feeling good and, you know, you're believing. And then, and I, you know, I'm trying to embrace my periods. I love them as well. You know, good. Wonderful. But then it's like, how long? I don't know. It's just tricky.
It is, because that question of how long, and it's like, I'm doing everything I can. I am upbeat. I am positive. I am expecting. And then it's like, why are there still more months rolling on and nothing?
Well, the thing is, I just don't understand why it hasn't happened yet. And that's what I find really hard, because everything about me is great. I don't understand. It's just a really hard thing to get my head around.
Well, that is
it should have happened. It should have happened by now. It should have happened a long time ago, you know?
I know. I know, exactly. It's like, this is, you know, should have happened years ago. Why is it not happening now?
Yeah, and then also I'll even go like, well, should I have given up by now? You know, like maybe, and I know that's a horrible place to go because that's the complete opposite of where you're supposed to be going. Same, but same. It's, I mean, for me personally, it's 16 years. So at what point do you throw in the towel?
Mm. Yeah.
And it's like you move, you know, I think to myself sometimes, you know, just move on from this, you know,
yes.
Move on, yeah. Get on with your life. Stop thinking, you know, it's not going to happen. Get over it type thing. That's, you know, I totally know what you mean. Yeah.
So it sounds cheesy, but you guys do have the answers within. So I'm going to give you the tools now to, if you can take some notes, because I want you to go in and practice this between now and tomorrow. It doesn't take long. For some of you, you might get lost in another dimension. You might be meditating for hours and hours. And it doesn't matter if you meditate for hours and hours, because it won't even feel like hours when you're in that zone. But I want you to go within, and I want you to be asking your higher self. I'll give you instructions on how to do that in a second, because your higher self is that higher aspect of you that holds all the truth. Secondly, I want you to commune with your baby. And we're going to ask the baby, are you ready to come now?
I also do this, Fiona. I do this. But it's really, it can get so strong, like the feeling. And this is what I think does my head in a bit, because I'm okay and life is good. But then I get these such strong feelings of my baby being, or like the souls being around me. I know it might sound weird.
No, that's good.
But I do really feel it's so intense, and sometimes I feel like saying, "What? Why can't you come to me now? Then, you know, I'm here. I'm ready." I sort of feel like that sometimes. It's like, but what's going on? You know,
yeah.
Why? Why don't you just come to me? You know, or leave me alone? You know, that sort of, because it's such an intense feeling.
And do you ever get an answer?
No. No, I get really emotional, and I get really hurt, and I think something's, and well, I guess, yeah, I have thought that something physically is blocking it from happening,
mm-hmm.
But there's nothing to say there is anything physical apart from an issue that I'm getting looked at the moment, but I can't see how that's going to, well, I don't know yet, but I can't see how that has caused all the years of it not happening, yeah. I mean, I'm sort of looking into, I've been told that I've been asked to have a laparoscopy.
Oh yeah, you said.
Yeah, for like endometriosis, like silent endometriosis. But I mean, you can still get pregnant with endometriosis, can't you? So I can't see how that's.
Yes, you can. So did you say you have been diagnosed as having endometriosis?
Not yet. No, I've got to go. I've just actually had a consultation, and because I think I've said to you about this before. I'll try and be quick. Sorry. About having pain sometimes when we are intimate.
Yeah.
And I have sort of suffer for a week afterwards sometimes, and because I just feel uncomfortable inside. And I've gone to the gynecologist to tell them about it, and I've had a scan, but it's very uncomfortable. And so they're now sending me for a laparoscopy because they think it could be, because I don't have any symptoms of endometriosis, but they think that sometimes it can be chronic if you don't have symptoms.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's something that's going on in the background.
But it's also good to do that kind of a test if that's what paths have opened for you or doors have opened for you, because then if that's not the issue, it gives you peace of mind.
Yeah, because I feel like it has come. It's like I feel like I've not chased it. It just has come into my lap, you know.
Perfect.
And I feel it feels right, actually. Perfect. I don't feel like I'm chasing after it. It's just sort of opened up. Yeah.
Good. So, ladies, I want you to, first of all, whenever you're meditating, to go within. You must have energy hygiene. Very, very, very important. And it doesn't matter how you put your questions together, as long as you stick to these guidelines. so that you don't get misinformation or rogue entities, you know, having fun with you, giving you misinformation. So you want to get really, really clear. So you first must ground. You must ground the energy, because what's happening when you meditate, when you commune with higher aspects of you and baby and ancestors, what happens is the higher energy flows down to you. If you're not grounded, it's like electricity. It needs to ground. If you're not grounded, you're going to feel hot, bothered, sick, uneasy, and you're going to be like, oh, I need to end this meditation. I'm not feeling good. That's why, because you're not grounded. Do whatever it takes to ground you. The simplest thing is go for a walk, first of all, ideally barefoot walking. If you've got a backyard, barefoot walk on your backyard, ground your energy, feel your connection to Mother Earth. You can use crystals to ground. You can do a breathing practice to help the intention to ground. You can do yoga, that's grounding. Do something that works for you that's grounding. And when you feel grounded, command that you are bringing yourself to the present, to the here and the now moment. So when you're present in the here and the now moment, it means no future thoughts and no past thoughts. When you're present, time stands still. When you're present, you have focus. And that's when it is the most powerful place to manifest from, to commune, to be, to exist from. All the time, it helps to be grounded. You can even do toe tapping to ground. You know, when you sit back and tap your toes as fast as you can, shaking the legs, wobbling the legs, so the flesh is moving on the legs, tap 250 times as fast as you can, separate the legs, feel the rush of tingling energy down to your feet, and then you're grounded. You're really grounded. So first you ground, then you begin to disconnect. So you're commanding that you're just focusing on the future, sorry, on the present, no future, no past. And you want to disconnect from any thoughts that are taking you elsewhere. I also like to think about letting go of codings and cordings. Now, if that doesn't make sense to you, it doesn't matter. Just have the thoughts of, I am grounded. I am now disconnected from anything that doesn't serve my highest good. And then I am protected. So you focus on your energy field. And an easy way to do this is to feel the energy coming up from Mother Earth, the energy coming down from Father Sky. And take the energy out through your core, okay, around the navel area, and extend it 2 meters in front of you, behind you, to the right, to the left. Join these ends, so to speak, so you have a 2 meter circumference around you. And you say, I am protected. And you can ignite that with a certain color if you want. You can ask Archangel Michael to protect you. You can ask certain ancestors. And that semi-permeable membrane that protects you, it could have, you know, angels all around. It doesn't matter how you want to view it, but only beings of love and light whom you want to be communing with will commune with you in that space. Okay, that's your sacred space. And just on that note, your most sacred space is your heart, your sacred heart chamber. And if you are ever doing a healing with someone or by yourself, or a meditation with someone or by yourself, and you get a message, let me into your heart, that is not what you want to be doing, because no one has access to your sacred heart chamber. Okay. And if they're asking to enter, that's not ideal. It's just you. That's just your sacred space. This is your portal to higher dimensions. No one and nothing can enter that space. It's very different to you choosing to love certain people, certain beings. They're not asking to enter. Okay, so when you are therefore protected and grounded and present, you're then able to command who you want to be communing with. So I always like to work in the light of highest truth, because everything is on a truth spectrum. So we want to have the highest truth. A color, if you're a visual person, a color for communication is blue. It can be indigo, which is the color of the night sky. It can be ice light blue, which is the color of the throat chakra. Both are communication colors. Obviously, anyone that works with you. I work with cobalt blue and working with Archangel Michael. If you're not a color person, don't force it. You can use other things. It's just some people can see certain things and you will have a different skill somewhere else that we don't have. So work with maybe your ancestors or someone that you feel safe with. So whoever you're choosing to work with first, just to help you stay protected, grounded, feeling a sense of security and confidence, check three times that that is that person. So are you, I don't know, if one of your parents has passed or something, or, you know, someone in your family has recently passed and you want to work with their spirit. Are you such and such of the light? Are you such and such of the light? Are you such and such of the light? When you hear three consecutive yeses, then you are working with the right being that you want to be working with. On the third time, they have to say the truth. That is a universal natural law that every being in the spirit world abides by. So I want you to feel safe and secure that you are communing with the right person or the right being. So first you bring that extra being in for protection if you want to, or you can go straight into a call forward, my baby spirit of this lifetime. Now you might have up to 9 spirits, okay? So when that happens, you want to then say the baby that's next in line to come to be incarnate now, is ready to come into my womb now, and then to not only be in my womb, but to be birthed on planet Earth in 2021. That's the spirit you want to be communing with. And when you're in that state, you can then ask them any question that you like. Don't ask them a time word, like how much longer, because there is no linear time for them. They cannot answer. But what I recommend my clients do is say, are you ready to come down now? And what can I do to help you to come down now? And even ask, am I ready now? Because you feel that you are, but they might go, no. And then you want to know why. Tell me, you know, what can I do so that you can come down now? Or what can I do so that I am ready for you to come down now? And you also want to check that, you know, there's certain order of spirits to come down. So maybe this child that was meant to come has got cold feet. They don't want to come down. That's okay. You just want to move now to the next one that is ready to come down now. And maybe that first one that's hovering, that's undecided or whatever, can help to bring in that next spirit. So that this is the level that we want to be communing with. And I promise you that you are more than capable of doing this. You can take a shortcut. You can ask others who are seers to be able to do this with you. But right now, there is no point in seeing a clairvoyant, because all timelines have now been changed. We are literally writing the timelines now for Earth. So there's no point asking a clairvoyant. It's about going within, communing with the exact beings that you want to be communicating with, and saying, if you're not ready now, help me bring in the spirit baby that is ready now. Let's work as a team to do this. And they can come to you in another lifetime or later in this lifetime, because you are ready now and you want to help bring those beings in now. And asking, do you need more angelic support to come through? Which angel should I call forward for you? Just, they will communicate on that level. And if you're not getting an answer, you have the ability to ask, show me with more clarity. If you're not going to give me the answers in this sitting, let me see the signs and the symbols over the next week. Now make it really obvious to me. And when you get a sign or a symbol and you're not sure, go back into meditation and commune. Am I interpreting this correctly? Is this what I should be thinking or saying? Or eating, you know, there's a lot of stuff that comes up.
Hey Fiona, I just wonder, is this a bit too advanced for most of us? I don't know anybody here actually was able to really connect and make sure it's not just made it up. I just almost cannot get there, but I just do regular meditation and may get some ideas. And then now I just feel it's kind of frustrating to keep trying. Maybe that's most, you have to have some psychic ability or something, and it's better just relax.
Yes, you have psychic abilities. Every single person has psychic abilities. You do too. And this is now your time to access it. You can just relax into it and expect that it will come easily, because it should do. It's not about trying hard. Your mind, the ego, will say to you, because it loves creating drama, Kim, you're just making this up. You don't get an answer. You're not advanced enough. You're not this. You're not that. Okay, that is so not true. One, you can tell because your emotions are making you feel down when you hear that. Two, you are an extension of God. God is experiencing life through you. Your inner essence is God and unconditional love. You are also this beautiful spirit that knows no boundaries. And you also have an intelligent mind, which is programmed to think there are boundaries. So God is expansive and God is abundant. This is an abundant universe. And whether you believe in God or not, it could be energy, whatever is your creator, something created you. There is a spark of intelligence deep within you. And this is your time now to allow the skills, gifts, and talents that you have had gifted upon you to use. Because this is, like I say, this is a universe that is expansive and abundant. So that is your natural state. Why do you think children think the world revolves around them? Because quite literally it does revolve around you. You create your world. So it's about you really taking hold of not listening to the lack thoughts. Okay, it's going to come up for people, maybe not everyone, but usually it does. I mean, I remember trying all this stuff initially and I'd burst into tears going, oh, this just doesn't work for me. But you surrender to it. You allow the energy to flow. And the more you practice it, you'll get the consistent messages coming through. So it's worth having pen and paper at hand when the messages come. Sometimes they seem really obvious, like just relax. And we'll come. And it's like, okay. So if you get a vague sense of direction when you're meditating and you hear that message, you know, what can I do to make my baby spirit come faster? And you hear, just relax or just have fun. Really take that to heart and think, okay, well, obviously I'm not relaxing enough. And obviously I'm not having enough fun. So that's what I want you to do is really listen to the subtle messages and think, how can I apply this? Because if they're telling you, that's what it is. And if other thoughts are overriding it, like, oh, you're probably just making this up. You probably can't do it. You have to rely on someone else. Or I'm just not getting anything. That's not true. You may not get anything at that particular moment because you meditate better when you're grounded. You'll meditate before you've eaten. So in the morning, first thing, or in the afternoon before dinner, you'll get a better connection. You get good connections at sunrise and sunset, more so in the morning, but you can still do it at any time. And it's also training the mind. If you haven't done deep, long meditations before or regularly, then it will be more challenging for your brain, which is like a muscle, to stay focused. So it's just about, you know, meditation is one pointed focus.
How many meditations do you think we should be doing a day?
Well, we should be doing 8 hours of yoga, 8 hours of qigong, 8 hours of sleeping, 8 hours of meditation, but we've got to be doing other things as well. Yeah, exactly.
So, like, say first thing in the morning, maybe in the afternoon if you have a chance to rest.
Yeah, when you're training in certain meditation techniques, like when I was training in transcendental meditation, which is not for everybody, I'm not plugging it.
What's that, sorry? Transcendental
meditation, TM. The Beatles made it popular.
Okay.
It's that type of meditation. It's incredibly addictive, but the energy is not from source. So you're tapping into another being's energy, which is fine, but it depends on you could always, what I'm trying to say is you can even go much deeper than where you go with transcendental meditation. But they were training us 20 minutes twice a day, and now it's more half an hour twice a day. So do it in the morning before breakfast, do it in the afternoon before dinner. And you just literally train yourself. So when you want to extend the periods of meditation, you have a look at an analog clock, so the clock face, and you say, when the big hand is exactly 20 minutes or it's exactly 30 minutes, you tell your brain, like, I'm going to open my eyes right when it's the big hand's on the six. And you train yourself. So if you're opening your eyes just 1 or 2 minutes earlier, you close your eyes, you train yourself for that exact time. And after a while, you'll be in a deep meditative state, and then you're out, bang on the time that you want, because you should never, ever, ever set an alarm for meditation. Because you're in a different dimension, and then an alarm brings you back into the third dimension, but it can give you a headache because you're not transitioning as best you could transition. So it's just practice, practice, practice. The more you can do, the better. And that's why with the online course, there's just so many different meditations for different personality types. There's like over 150 meditations. And you don't have to choose different ones. You just choose the ones that make you feel good, that you have transcended doing. So it could be you doing the lying meditations, the sitting meditations, the guided ones, the mantra ones, the candle gazing ones. It doesn't matter. Just do something, because it's the only time when you're meditating that your mind is still. Even when you're dreaming, your mind is completely active.
I do love meditating, actually. Yeah, I think it's very peaceful, makes me feel very content. Yeah,
definitely. And it's, I think it's more powerful than a sleep, an afternoon.
Definitely. Yeah,
because you're going into the depths of deep healing.
Yeah.
I actually find what you've said is so interesting, because I said I couldn't get to grips with affirmations, really. And actually, now that you've said, I've always thought when I was doing a meditation that I was grounded. And I get to this point of frustration, because when I first started meditating, I was doing like breathing exercises before, the one where you put like your fingers in on your forehead and like you do your alternate nostrils.
Yeah.
I would do that and then meditate, and I had such a more vivid like experience, I guess, of meditating. And I've stopped doing that, and so now I feel really confused when I meditate. And so I think actually when I thought I was grounded, now I'm actually not. I'm just trying to kind of rush it without preparing.
That's why you're not getting the connection that you want, because you're rushing. Yeah.
So I get this like frustration, because I never feel like I've actually gone into like deep meditation. So I never actually fully connect, but I'm obviously not grounded, even though I thought I was.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. Yeah, that would make sense.
I also have, so this sort of affirmation I try is, I say I am fertile and holding my baby in 2021, because I've got PCOS, I've always been told that I could potentially not be fertile, so that's one of the things I say to myself. But what you said about kind of strangling it, I feel like actually I don't believe it, I just say it to try and convince myself. How do you kind of get around that, and actually believe what you're saying, as opposed to just saying it to make yourself believe it?
Yeah, because if you're saying it to make yourself believe it, it isn't congruent, and it really won't happen. So what you want to do, because I know that you've got access to the online course, go into module 2, look at the neural reprogramming section.
Yeah.
That's the gold for you. So you've got the audio that will guide you through. And if you have any problems, just reach out to me separately. But that should combat that negative resistance that you have about not believing it, because it will change the mindset to believe it.
Okay.
And the thing is, your brain's hardwired for pleasure. So going down that thought pattern is triggering you. It may not even be your thoughts. It might be from your great grandparents, you know, some kind of thought that affected your DNA, your cellular DNA. which is impacting you. Like maybe it's a self-worth issue. You're not good enough of achieving what you really, really want in life. And at this stage, it's having this baby, or you're not going to be a good mum, or whatever false narrative happens to be playing. And the thing is, because it's unconscious, in the subconscious, you don't know. So it's just your body and mind turning it off. So that's why it's good to go into the subconscious mind, do the exercise, you know, the 11-day exercise, and write down whatever's coming up. And even if you don't believe it, you still need to clear it, because it's in there. And never take it personally, because it could have just been an ancestor's issue, which is now being passed to you to transmute, which you will not pass on to your children when you've transmuted it. And that's what a lot of these babies are waiting for. Just transmute that stuff, because I'm not here to be taking on all that density that you're taking on. I'm here to really make a difference. I'm not going to be bogged down with self-worth issues, self-lack issues, poverty mindset, whatever it is, you know, which we are so conditioned to. Or, you know, I must work hard to prove myself. They're not of it's that funny. Third dimensional state. Yeah, sorry.
I was going to say, it's funny because I always kind of, I believe everyone else is fertile around me. Like if someone's not sure and if they sort of confide in me about things, and like if they're trying for family, and I mean, I've sort of talked to people over the years, I always, you know, encourage them about having a family and help them. And yet I seem to always believe so much belief for them, and yet for me, and they've all had children. It's really weird. And it's like, why do I believe everyone else is fertile, and yet I seem to struggle to believe myself?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Well, what you're just saying,
the new reprogramming, perhaps exactly. That's something I should look at.
Exactly. It's also something that either you've been preconditioned to believe, but also when we want something so bad, it's also a human condition to sabotage it. So that on some level we go, but we're never really tried that hard. I didn't really want to hurt myself that badly. But what's happening is we are blocking it from happening. You know, it's this self-sabotage technique, and we see it played out with so many people, especially in relationships, but it's also in a relationship with ourselves. When we want something so bad that we are more afraid of failing, so I'd rather just sabotage. And that could be something that's going on. But also it's nipping it in the bud. If you don't feel that you are as fertile as other people, that's just a false narrative.
I know it's false because I think I am. But for some reason, I don't know. I mean, I think I am, but...
Do you feel
I'm not getting, pregnant. So, I mean, do you know what I mean? So
Perhaps I'm wrong. Do you also feel that you are? Because you said that you think that you are, but do you feel that you are?
Well, I guess I kind of think everything's saying that I am, but maybe, yeah, maybe not. Maybe I don't necessarily feel it. Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
Because if you think something, this is also a great way to make a decision. If you think something, it's your head. If you feel something, it's your heart.
Mm.
And that's where the truth resides. So what's your language? I think this, or I feel this. Now remember, you're not your thoughts, or you're not your emotions, but it's using the guide of where the energy is coming from.
Yeah, I have done that. I've sort of said to myself, when I've been speaking about it openly, I've sort of said, I really feel like it will happen. I'm not sure when, but I really have a strong feeling it's going to happen.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
How do you feel fertile? Sorry. How do you feel fertile? I don't understand. When you say to feel fertile, I mean, do you feel like a mum? Do you feel like you're going to be a mum? I get that, but how do you feel fertile?
You have that inner knowing.
Okay.
That unshakable inner knowing.
That you're going to be a mum? Is that what
you mean? Yeah, well, you're fertile, so therefore you're going to be pregnant, and therefore you're going to be a mum. Yeah. It's and it's like, you know, for all of us, I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know that I am. I know that.
Yeah.
You know. Whereas if you don't have that foundation, that's where you have to start. That's your primary place to start. You must activate that foundation where you know that you are pregnant. Sorry, you know that you are fertile. You know that you can become pregnant, and you know that you can have a happy, healthy baby. Mm-hmm. And that is also a thing for people. All my clients to date don't just want a child. They want a genetically healthy child. Mm. And that's what you can expect to have. Because if you are going to incorporate epigenetics, which is what we spoke about in former sessions, which I'm happy to reiterate with you guys. But when you understand epigenetics, you are literally the puppeteer of your genes, and you are turning on the genes that you want and turning off the genes that you don't want. It's that powerful. And you do it with the things that we're talking about all at the same time. You must be detoxing at the same time that you are adding more nutrition to your diet. And you're able to absorb all this nutrition, not just any nutrition. It's got to be absorbable. You know, you've got to be getting the right amounts of sleep and regeneration, which is why meditation can help. Because if you're not getting good enough sleep, the meditation can help top up the energy. Getting enough sunshine and time out in nature. It's so important, managing your stress. And when you combine all these things together, including the exercises that bring you joy, that fuel your body with energy, and you're preventing your energy from leaking by people and situations, then you are in that perfect state of thrive mode. You're refueling your reproductive system. Remember, it takes 9 months to improve follicle health. So it may not take you 9 months to get pregnant from now, but I'm just saying that the quality of that embryo is the sum of the 9 months prior.
I was looking for a supplement. I think we spoke about this last week for the CoQ10.
Yes.
Before, and I started thinking, I think if we're generally healthy and we're eating a good diet, that should give us enough energy anyway, shouldn't it, for our cells? I don't really know.
There's not enough nutrition in the soil, even organic food. There's not enough nutrition in the soil. We have just really abused our farms globally. And that it's scientifically proven we do not have enough nutrients in our soil. We didn't have enough nutrients in our soil in the 50s.
Okay.
And it's just getting worse and worse and worse.
So that you're saying that probably would be quite a good thing to get then, if just to help, yeah.
Yeah.
I want to ask a question about getting misinformation from like meditation or communing. Like, I had meditation and I thought I was communing, and then I got a message like the baby is coming by a certain month. And then I asked for some signs to confirm that, but then it didn't happen. So I just feel very discouraged, and I was thinking maybe I'm just imagining some random thing in my head. I don't know what you think have to say about this.
That's a really good question. And I'd like you to go back into meditation and ask baby, what happened? Did you change your mind? Or, you know, had something happened with you physiologically? Because it could happen where it changed its mind on a spiritual level. It's always got free will. And if the baby says yes, it's changed its mind, say, are you ready now? And if you don't get a strong yes, say, if you're not ready now, can you help the next spirit that's in line to come through to me, to come through now? Because I am ready now. And double check, am I ready now? Is there anything else that I need to do? Because maybe baby was not going to be 100% perfect genetically and thought, I don't want to come down now. But baby can tell you that, because these are all valid reasons as to why spirit babies change their mind. So just check with them and ask why. Be clear. Let me know with clarity, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, I just have a question on the guided meditation. So I don't do very well in complete silence, but okay. I like your surrender one. I love that. Can you still have this whole conversation when you're listening to a meditation? Is it not a bit distracting? Or like when you're having this conversation, should it be completely silent?
It should be, but when I say should, there's no such thing as should. You can have a mantra. That's what I need to do. I need to ask the question and then I have a mantra and I just focus on that. And I'm not actually focused and hanging on to every single thing that's going to come through. I just focus on the mantra. And I think, you know what, if I'm going to get an answer now, that's great. If not, I'll get one later, because I know I have that inner knowing. Sometime this week, I'm going to get this answer. And I just focus on stillness and peace. And I swear to you, the more I focus on just stillness and peace and silence, that's when spirit starts streaming all this content through, or your baby spirit or whomever you're trying to commune with. And it comes in thick and fast. But it's about just allowing and expecting it to happen and then just moving into that space of surrender. So having a meditation practice, you know, perhaps candle gazing, where you're having a candle to look at, plus you've got the mantra, can help. Otherwise, what I also do with clients is I can hold the space for you. And often in those meditations, I can see what my client sees and I can help guide you when you're feeling new to it, but you don't need me. And it is better to do it on your own. Ultimately, you're going to have to do it on your own anyway. This is what you're here to do. You're here to be empowered, but I'm happy to.
Sorry.
A single session is, it's £197 for the hour.
Okay.
And that's all we need is that. I mean, once you've got the tools, you've got the tools. And I also give you that specific recording that's been created for you. And of course, when I'm with my clients, it's that channeled information. Mm-hmm. You can also get, like, you can purchase booklets or groups of 5 or 10, and they are much better value.
I was going to ask Fiona, how do I come out of the meditation then to make sure that I've come back to earth correctly?
Very good. Very good. Okay, so when you've finished your meditation, never just get up in a hurry. Ideally, when you meditate nowadays, you want to be meditating seated with your aligned chakras. Okay, because we have more than 7 chakras nowadays, since the year 2000, we need to be sitting upright. Otherwise, if you lie down, you will fall asleep. And it's okay to do certain lying meditations, like yoga nidras and things like that. But for this particular exercise, you want to be sitting with your back supported, so your spine isn't erect and you're tense. You're just feeling the cushions or the pillows, whatever it is around you that supports you. You want to stay warm, so make sure you have a blanket. Even in the summer, it's just nice to feel that sense of security and that warmth, because the cold will distract you. But when you're ready to come out of that meditation, you'll find that you just begin to lose concentration and you begin to notice outside noises. That's okay. If you're okay with that, you'll probably have a big breath in and out, a big sigh, and sit there for at least a minute, expanding your consciousness as you come back into the third dimension. And when I say expanding your consciousness, it's just listening to all the faraway noises. Try to listen to the airplanes, the birds, the traffic, whatever it may be, so that you are completely aware of your surroundings. Back into that present grounded state. And when you feel that you've made that shift, you will probably have a sigh. That's usually a sign of an energy transfer. And then you feel energized to get up. If you're feeling a bit groggy, don't move, because your mind will come back first before your body. Just allow the awareness to take place first. And then when your body feels a little restless, it wants to move, allow it to stretch, twist, turn. And then I like to actually finish by rubbing my palms together, generating lots of heat between my hands, healing hands. It's the extension of the heart. You place your palms over your eyes with the heels of your hands in line with your eye sockets. Open your eyes wide into the darkness of your palms, and then draw infinity symbols. So figures of 8 on their side in one direction and then the other. That helps to balance both hemispheres of the brain. It feeds all this energy into your eyes and into your pineal gland. And then it helps the brain to recalibrate. So I always like to finish my yoga and qigong practices and meditation practices like that.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Fiona.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. You know the module 2 on the course, the 11-day exercise, is that the 22 lines that you have to do?
Yep. And the 22 lines will tell you what's in your subconscious. And the next step that is a neural reprogramming. So you are clearing what doesn't work for you, like that old thought, which is whatever it is that's negative, whether you believe it or you don't. Like, you might not even believe it. It doesn't matter. It's come up. Must clear it. And then you replace it with the opposite positive to create the new neural pathways.
Okay, so I think I got a little, I might need to listen to it again because I think I got a bit confused the other day. I wasn't sure if I was supposed to be writing 22 lines. I am in the 11 days.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay, and then you can do the neuroprogramming as well with that.
Yeah. Yeah, so you can either start doing the neural reprogramming mm-hmm. as soon as you've got your first day at hand.
Yeah.
Or you wait to the end of the 11 days and then you start the neural reprogramming. It's just that it can take, you know, usually 40 minutes per day to write it out. Whether you then have another 20 or 30 minutes to do some neural reprogramming, maybe not, because you also want to tie in some meditation, some detox practices, some yoga, some mindfulness. It's like,
trying to fit it all in. Yeah,
exactly.
That is the problem. And the, you know, the washing machine.
Yes.
Because you mentioned the tapping. Mm-hmm. I've got a video that you kindly sent me quite a while ago. I haven't really done much with it, I'll be honest. And I'm wanting to implement that as well because I'm mm-hmm. trying to implement everything else and I'm getting there slowly.
Loza, can I just say, I did that this morning, the washing machine. Oh my God. The energy. I sat on the bed and I thought, what's that feeling? What's that? And then I took my hands away and then I put my hands on the bed again. I could feel this buzz. Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. It works. Yeah, it works.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good. Yeah. So the one I've got, is that okay to use for morning and evening?
Yep.
Okay. Righty-o. Thank you for that, Jill.
Yeah, Jill, I'm glad you shared that. It works with your circadian rhythm. So if you do it at nighttime, helps you to sleep. It will relax you. Do it in the morning. It will give you energy hit. Yeah.
Some of your meditations from the course have definitely given me energy. And I think maybe I've done them in the evening when I should have done them in the morning. And then I haven't slept very well. But and especially when I've done that with the infinity eyes. So, yeah, I need to work that out. So I do those ones in the morning, not the evening.
Yeah.
But they're very good. Yeah.
You're very welcome. If you find that you've accidentally done an energizing one in the evening, just toe tap. I know it can be annoying for your man when he's in bed next to you, but just tap. Or get onto the ground and do it seated with your arms supporting you, legs extended, tap the toes as fast as you can, at least 250 times. And then separate the legs, hold that stillness. And it's just like, and then you will be ready to go to bed.
And then I'll go to sleep. Right. Okay. Thank you.
I'm going to try this toe tapping. It sounds great.
It is, honestly. It's a form of qigong. Mm. And it's just helping to take the energy out of the head. We think too much. Mm. So if you're overthinking, just ground the energy. Because your head isn't here to make big decisions. It all comes from the heart. And if you're in your head, you're not in your heart. So just ground the energy.
It brings the awareness to the feet and to the ground. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Connecting to Mother Earth, who nurtures you, who supports you. You're using her energy to reproduce, to have more children upon her. So you want to be connecting to her anyway.
Okay.
For her support.
It's just one other thing I was going to ask about your ancestors' meditation with the tree that I've done in the past. I can't find it anywhere. Is it? Is it still on the YouTube page? I can't.
Let's have a look.
Did a long time ago, and I've never been able to find it again.
Yeah, it's still there. Family Tree Fertility Meditation.
Family Tree.
If you go to Awakening Fertility videos, scroll down, you'll see it. Family Tree Fertility Meditation. Okay. So tomorrow we will be talking about overcoming brain fog and lethargy, what to do when suffering from miscarriages, what if you want to choose to adopt as an alternative option, but still focusing on having your own, plus the possibility of adopting, recovering from failed IVF and what to do with next steps, and how to succeed next time round. You know, that's IVF/IUI. So we're going to discuss all of that tomorrow.
I just have a very quick question. When we were talking about the muscle testing with supplements, can you do that with, I don't know, a difficult decision that you have and things like that? Or is it mainly to have something tangible that you hold?
What I do is I write it on a post-it note, whatever it is, and then you either lean forward or back, but always double check. So you write the opposite on another post-it note and see that you're actually, you know, if you lean forward for one, make sure you're leaning back for the corresponding one. And what I would do is fold it over so you don't know consciously, pick one and then choose the other one and just see. And if you're not moving as you are meant to be moving, then you've got other questions going on behind you. So really get grounded. I'll probably do the toe tapping in between both to really ground your energy, get centered, get really crystal clear that you're open to the divine answer coming through, and ask that way.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. You can also use the body testing for how many capsules or how much of a teaspoon you could be consuming things. And even like I might have said to you guys before, does my body feel like beans tonight? Does it feel like pumpkin? Does it feel like sweet potato? Just body test it, because the mind doesn't really know. We think we know, but you know, we want to activate the heart where the truth is.
So do you have to hold it when you're testing it?
Or you can write it on a piece of paper.
Okay.
And that paper will have that vibration. So, you know, if you're thinking, oh, I'll go out to the shops, grab something for dinner, I don't know what my body needs, just run through some different options and see which one leans forward for. Or if you are physically at the shop, yeah, pick the product up.
I feel like I want to have post-its everywhere.
And then you'll throw them away when you get the answer. Yeah, yeah. But it's just until you feel more confident using non-tangible things, because, you know, we are telepathic. But fast forward maybe 10 or 20 years, we wouldn't be on this toxic technology. We'd all be in a meditative state communing with one another. You know, this is what we have the skills and abilities to do. And this is what your children will have. And the thing is, with a mum like you guys, you're going to be there harnessing these skills, gifts and talents. So when your child says something which last generation would have thought was very odd, you're going to be nourishing that and sustaining that skill, because we have so many superpowers that we aren't even taught about in society, or definitely not at school. So it's a beautiful space where you will actually be communing with your heart, not your head, with your child. At the moment, we often communicate with our heads. It's what we were conditioned to do. But soon you'll be able to commune just with your heart, which means you can do this even with pets. You can start practicing with pets, or if you have any children now, start practicing communing from the heart. So you literally feel the heart open and soften. And you have just the feelings of unconditional love, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, and gentleness. And sometimes it's easy to picture your future baby's face on someone else, because you know that you'd communicate with your future baby from that natural state, as opposed to from the head. You know, when we're trying to control someone, it's from the head. When we're feeling hurt, it's from the head, because the heart never feels hurt, because the heart has compassion, unconditional compassion. So you can never be angry or upset with anyone because you have complete compassion for them. So it's training you now for when baby comes along. So you aren't going to be one of those moms with a screaming child and you're going to think, I don't even know what they're crying for. You will know what they're crying for, because all you need to do is bring their forehead to yours or within 30 centimeters and the baby will be able to commune with you. Secondly, you're in the same energy field, so it's really easy for the first 2 years. But then after that, when the energy field's disconnected and they've got their independent energy field, you'll still be able to communicate if you are communicating from your heart.
I really know that. I really believe that for me. I really think I'll be in a really good, didn't blow my own trumpet, but I think I'd be a really good mum, because I just feel like I would just be just so intuitive, you mm-hmm. know?
Can I just rechange your words?
I know, because I said blow my trumpet and I shouldn't say that, but I feel like I should.
And own it. I am a good mum. Yeah, I am.
And do you know why I do feel a mum? When I'm thinking about it and I'm feeling good, I feel like a mum.
Because you are. You know? I am a mum.
Yeah.
And you're more than a mum. You're not just a mum. You're a mum. And you're here to be, do, and have whatever you want as well.
Yeah.
So Fiona, how would you do it with pets?
Same thing. Open your heart, because you love them anyway, unconditionally. They're super easy, especially dogs, because dogs give unconditional love. So they're the easiest ones to work on if you have a dog as a pet. And you can bring your forehead to theirs. What they recommend is, first of all, if you're working with a dog, give them an energetic bone that they would really like to nourish on, like gnaw their teeth into and get the nutrients from. And they're feeling like, you know, that happy vibe. And then commune with them and say, this is how I feel and I love you and I appreciate you. And what do you want now? What do you need? And it takes practice because, of course, like we discussed earlier, your mind will go, oh, you're making this up. You're not capable of this. And I'm not getting anything from my pet. But remember, pets and cats do this much easier than dogs, but some dogs as well. Sometimes if you want to heal them, okay, you're forcing your will upon them. If they don't want to be healed, they will get up and go, like as soon as you start. So if you're trying to communicate with them and they're not feeling that they want to communicate with you, they'll just leave the room. And that's okay. You don't have to chase them. Just find that energy and find the space where they are willing to commune. It's not, never about forcing your will onto them.
Sometimes I do that with my cat, and it and we do the forehead thing and have a chat. But if she's not up for it, she will go, definitely. Yeah. But I don't push it because you can't push it. She is an independent feline. So, yeah.
Exactly. No, pets.
Yeah, it is lovely, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
I pick mine up. He's quite young, actually. And I lost, we actually got him at the same sort of around as the time that we had a loss.
Oh.
And it's funny because he's sort of been this most kindest, gentlest soul. It's like he's something, it's like he was sent to me. And he's just been like, a real help, really. He's over two.
Oh.
And I hold him I held him in my arms. And he lays on my chest and he's like, it's so contenting.
Aww.
It's so comforting, you know, it's lovely.
And yeah. And dogs do that. They give unconditional love and they take away stress. One of the animals actually, they release serotonin and oxytocin through their eyes. So it's that beautiful feeling that you get, you know, when we're sustaining ourselves in our mother's milk, for example, we release oxytocin. It's that deep sense of love. You release it with orgasmic sex. It's that thing. You get it from chocolate, you know. So that energy is what you're receiving, which is beautiful. And look at this beautiful little doggy here, Sheila's.
Beautiful.
And dogs will love the energy as well. And sometimes cats too, when there's healings and things. But when you're meditating or doing Qigong, yoga, they love.
They do. It really calms them. They come and lay with me. They just go to, you know, really calm. Yeah.
Which is going to be the difference when you're pregnant and you're in that calm state, your baby's going to be really hyperactive. So you're going to be wanting to rest and your baby's going to be like, yeah, feel a little energized. Yeah. So. All right, lovely ladies. Thank you so much for connecting today. And I look forward to hearing your updates tomorrow. Do try and give that meditation a go because then I can talk you through. So you have an expectation where you're going to get an answer, but there's never a time frame as to when you get the answer because you're dealing with spirit. And one thing I want to say, sometimes you get a message from spirit. Now remember, spirit is not in the physical, but they're trying to give you a physical message, which might be an image or it might be words. It's something that you have the ability to hear or see. And it can be so abstract that you're like, you know, for me, one time I just saw eyelashes and I'm like, what is that? And then I was looking harder. It's eyelashes to a camel. Okay, what does that mean to me? Not to anyone else, but what does a camel mean? And what do these eyelashes mean? And then it's like trying to ascertain, is that what spirit's trying to say? And then checking with spirit. So even if you get something really random and you can't even put words to it, just ask, show me with more clarity, because this is spirit communing with you. You have the ability to decipher what the answer is. And if you don't get anything in that session, it doesn't matter. You might get it when you're doing the dishes or something mundane. Often that's what happens. You might get messages around water. I get a lot of messages in the bathroom. You know, just be open to it coming to you because it is going to come. Have that knowing, have the expectation, and it will come.